This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The Senate Judiciary Committee holds a hearing today on one of President Bush's most controversial and respected lower court nominees. He is Michael McConnell, an influential conservative scholar from the University of Utah and one of the first individuals nominated to the bench by President Bush. McConnell's nomination presents committee Democrats with a particularly tricky dilemma. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Michael McConnell is unquestionably one of the nation's most distinguished and conservative constitutional law scholars. He's published more than 50 articles in the nation's leading law reviews and argued 11 cases before the Supreme Court. Indeed, his work has been so persuasive in the area of church-state relations that the views he holds, once deemed out of the legal mainstream, are now held at least to some extent by a majority of the U.S. Supreme Court. His colleagues on the right and left like and admire his intellect so much that 300 of them, conservative and liberal law professors, have written a letter urging his confirmation. As they put it in their letter, both in person and in his writings, McConnell exhibits an abiding commitment to fairness and the rule of law. University of Chicago law professor Cass Sunstein, an avowed liberal, is one of the letter's signers.
He has two virtues. He's excellent, and he's not an ideologue. He's an open-minded and fair person who is one of the top lawyers in the United States and also one of the top law professors. And while quite conservative, he's also someone who doesn't march to the beat of any drummer.
Yale law professor Akhil Amar, also from the liberal spectrum, says he came to know McConnell precisely because the conservative professor's writing was so intelligent and interesting. McConnell is more controversial than other Bush nominees, Amar argues, because he states forthrightly what others conceal.
He's someone that I would trust more than many of the other conservative appointees. So if you don't have McConnell, you're going to get maybe someone that ultimately may be worse, but without a paper trail.
Indeed, McConnell does have a significant paper trail of articles in law journals and the popular press. He strongly criticized a number of the Supreme Court's most important civil rights decisions, perhaps most notably the court's 8-1 ruling in the Bob Jones case, denying tax-exempt status to racially discriminatory religious schools. McConnell, while characterizing such religious views as abhorrent, said the decision was an egregious example of the court's failure to protect religious freedom. He's also criticized Supreme Court decisions allowing the victims of sexual harassment to sue their employers, and he's applauded the court's 5-4 decision invalidating a key provision of the Violence Against Women Act. Opposition to McConnell's nomination is based for the most part on his legal views in support of a conservative social agenda, first and foremost his vociferous opposition to abortion and to Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion. In 1996, McConnell, along with anti-abortion political activists, signed a statement of pro-life principle that called for overturning Roe and for passage of a constitutional amendment banning all abortions, even in cases of rape and incest. In testimony before Congress, he opposed the Freedom of Access to Clinics law, arguing that protesters have a constitutional right to forcefully confront patients face-to-face when they're entering a clinic. Failing an outright ban on abortion, McConnell has endorsed a legal and political strategy to curtail abortions by imposing restrictions that make them more difficult to obtain. In an interview with NPR in 1998, McConnell put it this way.
When the states are regulating the procedure, they're not doing this for the annoyance of women. They're doing this for the protection of vulnerable beings. The problem with abortion law is not that the courts have allowed minor regulation around the fringes. The problem is that the courts have not allowed more serious protection for the unborn.
But McConnell's defenders say that while his views on abortion might be grounds for opposing his nomination to the Supreme Court, they are not valid arguments against his nomination to a lower court where he's bound by what the Supreme Court says the law is. Professor Sunstein.
The arguments being raised against McConnell are pretty similar to the arguments that were raised against having Thurgood Marshall be on the Second Circuit, where Marshall was very strongly committed to the rights of African Americans and people whose civil rights were being violated.
Says Sunstein, Marshall enforced the law as it was then, and so would McConnell. But McConnell's critics counter that those who opposed desegregation also opposed Marshall, only to be outvoted by those who believed in equality. In McConnell's case, those who oppose his views, say his critics, should also oppose his nomination. Most cases, they argue, never get to the Supreme Court. They point, as an example, to the case of two abortion protesters who were acquitted by a federal judge of blocking access to an abortion clinic. Even McConnell acknowledged that the two men were guilty and that the judge who acquitted them had acted improperly. But McConnell said he deeply admired the judge's courage and suggested obliquely that the judge might have done better by convicting the men and suspending their sentences. That, say McConnell's critics, is a perfect example of the damage he could do as an appeals court judge, using judicial discretion to skirt the clear intent of the law. There are other parts of the so-called conservative social agenda that McConnell has strongly supported. He wrote the Supreme Court brief for the Boy Scouts, successfully arguing that the Scouts should be able to exclude gays from being members. And he spoke out in opposition to a proposed federal law that would have banned discrimination against homosexuals in employment. In an interview with NPR, he said that choosing not to hire a homosexual is much the same as choosing not to hire a Democrat or a Republican, or choosing not to hire a gambler or an alcoholic.
All of these are moral judgments that are fair game in the marketplace, and this law would single out one particular moral judgment and take it off of the table.
Undoubtedly, the area of law in which McConnell has been most active and successful is church-state relations. In recent years, he's argued many of the major church-state cases to come before the Supreme Court, contending that the Constitution's ban on state establishment of religion does not mean that government cannot accommodate religious practices or allow taxpayer money to flow to religious institutions. The command of the Constitution, he's argued, is that government be neutral towards religion. It can't favor religion over non-religion, nor can it favor non-religion over religion. Thus, McConnell has argued government can subsidize religious schools if it subsidizes other non-religious schools. Or, as he put it in an NPR interview,
if the science class is one that meets the state's requirements as a science class for accreditation for educational purposes, there is no requirement that the teacher refrain from teaching from a religious perspective.
McConnell's views on church-state relations, on abortion, gay rights, and other issues have prompted some of the liberal scholars who've endorsed his nomination to pull back, albeit quietly. Several told NPR they'd been surprised, even shocked, when reading more of McConnell's work than they had previously, and that they could no longer support him. But most who are pulling back said their view had mainly been changed by the Bush administration's ideological push to name only conservatives to the appeals courts. Still, none of the scholars we talked to, at least so far, has been willing to renounce his support publicly. For the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee, the McConnell nomination presents both a dilemma and a test. Less than 2 weeks ago, they voted to kill the nomination of Priscilla Owen, a Texas judge with an anti-abortion record that is minor compared to McConnell's. But Owen's supporters were in the business community, not the universities. Now the question is whether the Democrats are prepared to vote against someone whose political allies are in the halls of academia. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.